Welcome to The Ziglar Show. I'm your host, Kevin Miller, and this is our Habits Show. We're talking with meditation expert and founder of the top-ranked meditation app, One Giant Mind, Johnny Pollard. Wouldn't we all like to know what is essential and what is frivolous in our lives? Maybe we think we subconsciously know, but I, for one, would be interested in really getting it out on the table. Well, Johnny was our guest in show 671, where we discussed how to free ourselves from ourselves. No surprise that a mainstay habit that you'll hear him share about is his meditating. But it was on the financial spoke where he discussed asking himself what was essential and what was frivolous that really intrigued me in this discussion. I just saw the concept as being relevant to really all the spokes of my life. I also appreciated the guiding light of his career spoke being another question he asks himself: how can I be of best service? And mentally, another question he asks: how can I be better? It's really a show of brilliant questions from Johnny that he asks himself. You can check out Johnny's podcast and even more so his meditation app, One Giant Mind, at One Giant Mind.
I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. What does the Weather Channel app share in common with a personal trainer and a life coach? It's an ally on your quest to wellness. What you do with its insight is up to you. Like running an extra mile when air quality is good, or checking your allergy forecast so not even ragweed can disrupt your chi. It's more than a weather app. What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Hey, just a shout out thanks to all of you who have been piling up the incredible ratings and beautiful reviews for The Ziglar Show in iTunes. Thank you so, so much. It's just tremendous. All right. Well, here then I bring you the successful habits of Johnny Pollard. Okay. Well, I am always interested to hear everybody's habits, but being that you are who you are and you do what you do, I have a little bigger interest in some of your habits here that we're going to go behind the scenes and get Johnny. So number one, we start off, and this is just the physical and nutrition, exercise, diet, the things that you employ there. Tell us about your habits.
I get up in the morning and do about 5 minutes of yoga, a simple sequence that just moves the body in all the directions that it needs to, just to enliven it. And then I jump on a bicycle and I ride down the East River of New York City, of Manhattan, all the way down to Battery Park so I can get a view of Statue of Liberty. I reflect on the principle of liberty and then I get back on my bike and I come back, and that's a pretty good workout. It's about 40 minutes. Nutrition, I have a bowl of homemade granola that my wife makes. As far as I'm concerned, it's the best granola in the world. And I'll top that with just some fresh fruit, you know, so I'm getting some grains and fruit, and that generally gets me through to lunchtime.
Okay. All right. So no specific diet there. I mean, as far as the types of foods you eat or don't eat.
I'm a vegetarian. Okay. And that's primarily because my body just doesn't seem to like meat. I think over the years, it's become also a bit of a moral position as well.
Yeah.
But My body just likes food that it can digest really quickly and easily and get the energy from. And I find that, you know, a plant-based diet really, really helps with that.
I am 100% in your camp, vegetarian one, because I never did do well that with meat, do very well with meat. Culturally and environmentally. But my wife and I have adopted flexitarians. I won't touch a meat product, but yeah, I'm with you.
Flexitarian. I've never heard that before, but I like that.
She kind of goes with the 80-20 rule. And we have such a big family that it's difficult. And sometimes the kids will want to get really rigid. So flexitarian. Right. Yeah. I've enjoyed that. I don't think I touched meat for about, 20 years. And now I'm a flexitarian. So,
right.
Family, friends, really is just relationships, Johnny, just the things that you employ. I know you are, you've got your own family of three, I believe, right?
Correct.
And then your extended family, but just anything you do, family, friends, relationally to keep yourself well.
I meditate twice a day as a minimum. And what that does is ensures that I'm closely connected with my own needs and the sensitivity of the needs of those around me. The two people that I'm around the most are my wife and my little baby girl. And the way that I live my life is that after my basic needs of replenishing my energy have met, I dedicate myself to making sure that my wife feels supported as a mother and also as a wife, just as a person, to be there in any way that I can, to be as generous with my time and energy, to make her feel supported. Because as they say, you know, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
And it's really true. You know, if my wife has nothing to ask of me and is always just feeling a sense of deep gratitude for the support that she has from me, then that's going to be reciprocated. And what I'm doing there is nourishing the foundation of our relationship. So we live very deliberately where we make each other's needs priority. And I would say that my wife's needs are a greater priority than my child's to me, because if all of her needs are met, her instinct as a mother taking care of our baby daughter is going to be there. Now, it's not to say that my baby daughter's needs are not a priority to me. They're just at a very subtly, slightly lower level of priority. And what I've noticed is that ensures a strength and a solidity in just smoothness and harmony in the household. If my wife's never having to nag me to do something, mm-hmm. Then she's always just sort of light and effervescent and, joyfully tending to, all of her responsibilities, particularly being a mother. Mm-hmm. So that's how I live in the household, and we make it a priority to make sure that we're always available to any of our dear friends that might be in need during the week to have a heart to heart conversation about challenges that might arise in the week. And we have our nearest and dearest that we can call upon when we're challenged by life, that we can share what's going on, and we make it an absolute priority that we are communicating the depth, the truth of our experience, going into uncomfortable places, embracing vulnerability and not sucking it up and trying to pretend like nothing's happening when actually we might be really challenged and overwhelmed, and actually just let that pressure out. And we've created a network of friends and family that we can do that. And there is a beautiful, equal, balanced exchange where all of that's being shared. And as a result, we have a really healthy, open, honest, truthful dynamic between us. And, this is absolutely essential for well-being, to be able to share fully, what's going on, irrespective of, how bad, you might have behaved in some circumstance, to confront it and to resolve it and to grow from it.
Okay, well, I'm going to make a quick deviation here, Johnny, because you brought me back to something that I actually had down for our main interview and we didn't get to it. But in your book, The Golden Sequence, you actually talk about, and this has to do with what you just talked about, your network of friends and family. You talked about an evolutionary mismatch with the hunter-gatherers to agricultural communities. And just to, I'll do a quick paraphrase of the, back in the hunter-gatherer mode of long ago, we had small tribes, and you say of 20 to 40 people, they relied on each other. Now we have tribes of, I mean, you're in Manhattan. There's untold millions of people there. And we are, we know statistically it's true that we are less connected, less intimate with people and relationships than we used to have. It reminds me of Dan Buettner's book, The Blue Zone Solutions. And he talked about the strength of community in these blue zones where people were happier, healthier, lived longer, lived better quality of lives. And the blue zone solution was you're going to have to create your own blue zone, your own group, which you just talked about doing. And I was going to ask you in the show, and I will just throw it to you a little bit when you talk about that. I know there's a lot of people who hear that say, man, that sounds great. How do I do that? I have a family. They take up my time. I go to work. I may or may not have coworkers, may or may not like coworkers, and I don't know how to step out and create that network that you spoke to. Any thoughts on that?
Johnny. Start with your immediate family. Don't necessarily go looking to add anything in. You've got people around you. It's basically just showing up and heartfully listening to the experience that they're having, your partner, your children, you know, relinquishing the need for a moment to be heard and lend the generosity of your attention to your loved ones to listen to what they're experiencing and just acknowledge and validate what they've heard. Quite often we can listen to each other in some kind of autopilot, some sort of robotic mode where we're just like, or our response is more a reaction. You know, our partner might be entrenched in some mode of resentment, anger, jealousy, frustration. And quite often we can throw fuel on that fire by not listening with our hearts, but listening with our own frustration, resentment, anger, and jealousy or whatever, and exacerbate the problem and not necessarily create a dynamic where there's growth and progress through that experience, rather just, you know, enabling and causing repetition, cyclic repetition of things that are undesirable in our life. Yeah. Whereas we take the time to listen with our heart and to consider how we might be able to frame our experiences from the perspective of love and growth and progress, we can be an extremely valuable perspective contributor to the lives of everybody around us with the wisdom that we have innately within us when we do listen from the heart and be considered for a moment to observe our own reactions to stories that we hear from our loved ones and go, my instinct might be to react here, but actually I think we need to take a deeper perspective here and to share what we know and remind each other. If we're not reminding each other, the ones we love the most, of our deepest nature of love, then who's going to do it for us? You know, if we're not there to bolster and strengthen and nurture the love in our hearts for each other, if we can't do that with our nearest and dearest, how are we going to achieve that out in the world? And so for me and my family and my dearest friends, this is at the highest priority. You know, it's as high a priority as the way in which I treat my family and I interact with my family, as I described earlier. And just by doing that, the sense of belonging and all the things that we yearn for in terms of the depth and richness of relationships just naturally occurs. Yeah. It just naturally happens because you're taking the time, you're becoming that person that another person can rely on to really come and connect with and share and have a meaningful exchange with. And there's nothing more precious as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you. That's why I felt called to pull that out. I do want to call people's attention. If you didn't hear show 651 with Oscar Trimboli on deep listening, you spoke to a lot of that, of just listening to truly hear and understand. And Oscar really walked us through some of the key points of how to do that, why to do. Well, I guess you just gave us a lot of the why, but I really call folks, if you didn't hear show 651, do that. Well, thank you, Johnny. So the third spoke here is mental. And, you know, I think some of your thunder is stolen here. I bet you meditate. But tell us about that for the mental spoke, what you do to keep yourself mentally well. And if there's anything in addition to that.
Absolutely, there is. So meditation is the given.
Of course.
And I do that twice a day. But the other thing that I do to stimulate myself mentally is to review what it is that I'm doing and to ask the question, how can I be more refined? How can this process be more elegant? How can I do less to achieve more? How can I perhaps be more inclusive in areas where I might be excluding someone or something? And what that does is it stimulates my mind in a way that is expressive of my deepest nature, which is to be creative. You know, that creative intelligence that I talked about in our previous episode. I'm always seeking to create opportunities for that creative intelligence to be expressive in the most dynamic, coherent, and effective way, and an elegant way. Elegance is a really great word there.
Yeah.
And I'm always trying to, you know, make what's happening inside my mind as elegant as possible. And so reflecting on ways in which I can bring simplicity to complexity, resolution and unity to disparity. These are little simple mental exercises that I enable myself to indulge in conceptually. And then, you know, I quite often arrive at really wonderful insights that that are actionable. And then I put them into action and, you know, great things come of it.
I'm not going to go down another rabbit trail, but folks, just as a testimony to Johnny, words that you use that are not in my common vernacular, elegance, innocence, effortless. You use a lot in the app. Those are words that I'm a logophile. I'm a lover of words, admittedly. And, I'm going to ponder on those. I'll just put that out there. Thank you for bringing those to light.
You're welcome. There's a lot of gold in those three words.
I like those. The fourth spoke here is financial. What are the habits that you employ for your financial health?
In this phase of my life, you know, with a new baby, I think I'm thinking about money and finances in a really different light, thinking more about, you know, what is essential, what is frivolous, you know, what do we actually really need here? I think that there is an immense value in feeling financially secure. Worrying about money is very debilitating. It's like having a bad back that you can't fix, you know, or it's just always aching. You know, financial insecurity and worry is a really big thing. And so I'm thinking more about how I can create more financial security by not necessarily always just going and getting what I want and just asking, you know, what do we really need here? And this also translated to just my own personal pursuit for you know, being relevant in the world and contributing something meaningful. You know, there's this whole paradigm of bigger is better, and, you know, try and make the biggest and most profitable company you can, because then you can really have impact when you've got all that money. And, you know, in the last couple of years, I've really challenged that idea, and I don't buy into it at all anymore. I think that you can have massive impact in the world without necessarily going and trying to make a multi-zillion dollar company. And I actually think that the less people you have to answer to, the less people that, you know, that you have to manage, and the more time you get to focus on your message, the better and the more impactful you can be. And so,
friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now, I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to think about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin, airdoctorpro.com, promo code Kevin. Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top-tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin.
I'm thinking more very pragmatically about what I need, and the impact that I can have in the world. And then I go, right, how do I go about getting that, rather than just trying to go for this massive lump sum of money, you know? Yeah. And going, right, I've got all that money now, everything's fine. It's to me, that's, it's really fluffy and kind of chubby. I want to get really sort of muscularly taut and ripped and refined in that way. And so thinking about what do I need in order to get this next phase done? And part of that is feeling financially secure. So having enough in the bank to just make me feel secure. Yeah. And what that does, that's also translated in me not working as hard and as much. You know, I still work diligently and I'm still very committed to what I do. But I'm not just hell bent at going out there and working so hard to make as much money as possible, because it just doesn't translate to anything necessarily that ultimately is good and sustainable for my well-being.
And thanks to these sponsors for bringing us today's show. Fifth spoke is spiritual. Tell us about that side of your life.
For me, spirituality and humanity are interchangeable. I believe that who we are as human beings essentially are spiritual beings. And my spirituality is expressed through the cultivation of my humanity. how can I be a kind, loving, caring, generous, supportive, useful being in this world? And that is the end game of spirituality. We cultivate spirituality, as far as I'm concerned, so that we can be more of that in the world. And I find that when I am conscious of how I can be more of that, those qualities that I just expressed in my daily interactions, I find that my spirituality, my awareness of the spirit of my humanity, which is, you know, loving kindness, comes to life. It's lit up through the practical application of just bringing myself into interactions on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. And, you know, holding myself accountable when I am being critical and judgmental and excluding, and, you know, I know you're a Christian, you know, reflecting on the teachings of Christ and how he brought himself into the world, and really looking at it from a very pragmatic, because I think Jesus' teachings are very, very practical, you know, very simple, pragmatic, and, you know, just living like that, like a Christian. But, you know, a Buddhist would attest to the same thing, sure, essentially, sure, just coming at it from a slightly different angle. And a Muslim would say the same thing. Any religion, any tradition that, you know, takes into consideration that our deepest nature is love, mm-hmm, you know, we're going to find a confluence there. And so seeing the unity in things, and as opposed to the differences in things, is something that I am particularly massaging as a spiritual practice, particularly in these times right now, because it's the things that we define ourselves by that make us different that I think are creating more problems than providing solution. Whereas when we focus on what unifies us, what we share in common, and the responsibility we have to nurturing that commonality, that universality, we find a lot more wisdom and solution in that.
That's a sentence worth pondering for the rest of the day for all of us, I think, seeing unity more than differences. Thank you. Thank you for implanting that. Sixth spoke, Johnny, is career. And you spoke to that somewhat in the financial spoke of where you are right now. And so I think you said in to paraphrase, the working, you know, diligently, working smart, not necessarily more, bigger, greater, but speak to us, yeah, about what the things that you're employing in your career to keep yourself well and on track.
Yeah, career for me is, how can I be of best service? You know, my career choices have always been led by that. And, you know, how can I bring what I have to the world in the most dynamic way that might also be a vehicle for me to generate revenue to, you know, support a lifestyle that I enjoy. And I believe that the world is full of need right now. And there are ways of bringing what you have to the world to meet those needs, to be a solution to those needs, and to make money. To exist in this world and flourish in this world. And so I think while ever I am, you know, fearlessly serving need, my needs are always met. That's been the philosophy that I've lived by. And I wouldn't say that I'm a career person, but that has been my career.
Sure.
It really has. And I've flourished up until this day in that respect. Living by that philosophy, and that's what I always teach. And it's certainly the most fulfilling. What it ensures is maximum fulfillment, you know. And the financial side of things is a secondary thing to me, because there's only so much money we can have that's going to alleviate that worry.
Yeah.
You know, once we alleviate the worry, money is no source of happiness. It's no source of fulfillment. Being of service and relevance and significance in other people's lives is the greatest source of fulfillment that we could ever access. And that's free. that's accessible to us now, yeah, right now. We don't need a business plan to be of service to another person. We don't need to be funded to be of service to another person. Just give somebody your attention. And, you know, so, you know, career, the reason why I struggle with the word career is because it all bleeds into one thing. Life is work, work is life. You know, if your life is of service, then it's all one thing. You know, it's, I don't clock in and clock off, you know, to go to work to be of service. You know, I'm not in service for 10 hours a day. And then I'm like, right, I clocked off now. And now I'm just going to be a hedonistic freakazoid and right. only serve my own needs. Right. It doesn't work like that. You know, it's a 24/7 deal. And as a result, the way that I live and the way that I work and all of that, it's all seamlessly cohesive as one whole thing. And I find that I'm able to live and embody what it is my values are a lot easier when that's the case.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Last one here. Number 7, personal. This is, I couch this under fun, hobbies, play, the things that you do, just for you, just for joy.
Yeah. I need to be creatively expressive on a regular basis in order to feel well. So I paint, I love to listen to music. I'm less talented at playing music, but I'm really talented at listening to music. I'm a really good listener to the extent that I allow the music in to create something in me that gives rise to something creative, like a particular painting or something. I love spending time with friends, having deep, heartfelt conversations. Obviously, the biggest thing that brings me the greatest joy is my wife and my baby girl. Spending time with them, doing something fun, recreational, being outdoors, love skiing, love skating, snowboarding, surfing, being in nature, climbing, hiking. Actually, you know, that's a really big one. Being outdoors in nature is like absolutely critical. I'm living in New York City. If we don't get a hit of nature, you know, every couple of weeks, then, you know, we're struggling.
Yeah.
We really feel it.
Yeah. Yes. I thank you. The real being a really good listener of music. I don't think I've ever heard anybody speak that. That's what I feel. I don't play it. I can sing so, but it's not a joy for me, but listening, we spent last night, listening to a new guy that we're into as a family and watch some live videos and just taking it in. Yeah. It makes me a better human. So, thank you for putting some of my feelings into words. I appreciate it.
Pleasure, mate.
Hey, thank you for giving us a behind the scenes look at these daily habits. It's inspiring, as your messages. It's a gift. Thank you, Johnny.
My pleasure, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Well, hey friends, I so again like Johnny's questions to himself that lead him in his daily habits. Again, I encourage you to check out his meditation app, One Giant Mind. Michael Hyatt is using it every morning, and now I'm attempting to use it every day at some point. I actually had the privilege of connecting those two, Michael Hyatt and Johnny, together recently. Coming up next in show 673, we're talking about blame. Such an ugly topic, but it exists and affects all of us. Hopefully, we know that placing blame on anything or anyone is simply giving our power away. Well, Zig drives home this point with a short message and states that when we stop blaming and take full responsibility for our lives, we free ourselves up to move freely and faster. Well, hearing these truths and actually walking in them, however, are two very different things. Most of the time, blame slips in and we don't even realize we're giving our power to it. And when it comes in the form of a person, as Zig Ziglar points out, it requires forgiveness. Well, from this concept and Zig's message, I posted this question to you, the Ziglar listeners. What is something or someone you blamed that was holding you back? And now you've let go and in essence forgiven and have moved on to greater success. I believe you'll find the responses really comforting and freeing. If someone else can move beyond a well-deserved blame, so can you, so can I. Tom Ziglar joined me to talk through all these heartfelt responses. Till then, folks, thank you as always for letting me walk with you as we inspire our true performance together.